Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is a Wednesday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on all our platforms. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Sirius XM Channel 83. Joy Taylor is joining me in living color. You should be able to see her on FS1 today and hear her on all our radio affiliates. She looks amazing as usual. Joy, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Colin. I have a little different backdrop today, but we're back on television. Good to see you guys.
We are tinkering every single day. We don't know when we're back in the studio. Maybe it's the governor of California that decides that. There's a lot of incredibly encouraging news with the virus. Hospitalizations are coming down. Death rates, it should be noted, are a lagging indicator. The key indicators before that are hospitalizations. Those are going down. The surge in hospitals is not as daunting and jarring outside of New York City as it was expected. The models are indicating the numbers are coming down. There's some optimism today. And, of course, Tom Brady went on with Howard Stern. So I like Howard Stern, and I like Tom Brady. So we have ourselves a show today. So here's the big bombshell. In the interview, if you did not hear it, Tom Brady was asked by the king of all media, Howard Stern, you know, when you decided to go.
I don't think there was a final decision, you know, until it happened. But I would say I probably knew before the start of last season that it was my last year. I knew that, you know, it was just our time was, you know, our time was coming to an end.
So before the season started, put his house up for sale, that's when he made the decision. But you just don't make a decision then. Doors are open. What they say is before people have affairs, physically, they have emotional affairs, right? You start flirting a little bit before you have the affair. Well, January 2018, ESPN the magazine, multiple or at least one coach up the food chain. We could win Super Bowls with a lot of quarterbacks. That opened the door to the flirting. That opened the door to opportunities. It's the Kevin Durant, Draymond Green fight. It didn't decide it, but it opened up the door. And once the door gets open and people start flirting with you and sending you roses and you start, it's not as ideal. The door has to be open. Tom Brady had never considered leaving. He joked about it. He used to say it's the best place. January 2018, New England coaches sell him out in an article. It opened the door to the flirting. And then, of course, he'd just been MVP, took a pay cut, been doing that for 10 years, reads the article, and he's thinking, what? Well, you don't appreciate me? And then, of course, 3 weeks later, he throws for 500 yards, his best Super Bowl performance, never punts, and they lose because Bill Belichick won't play Malcolm Butler, or at least that's what players thought. So now, I've been taking a pay cut. You say you could win with multiple quarterbacks, and I have the best game of my career in the playoffs. We don't punt, and because you and your rigidity won't play Malcolm Butler, we lose. Now, it's not just flirting. It's meeting for coffee. Now, it's maybe we should have a cocktail. You're sliding into DMs. Following season, he wins a Super Bowl, and they won't give him a friendly deal after the Rams Super Bowl. Then he makes his decision. Now it's over. But all these affairs, it starts by opening the door. And that article made him go, whoa, time out. I'm the best ever. I've taken pay cuts. And you don't appreciate me. And I'll tell you what appreciation means. I watched a great documentary last night. It was called American Factory. It's fantastic. Best documentary I've seen in a long time, and I watch a lot of documentaries. And it's about basically a Dayton, Ohio, a factory closes, middle America, small town kind of, not that small. And then a Chinese billionaire comes in, communist country, and opens up a factory. And he is unhappy with how inefficient the American system is. But he forgets that the American system is not communism, and the American system is 8 hours a day, and Americans want to feel appreciated. But what was fascinating about it, of the many things that were fascinating, the workers didn't want to be rich. That wasn't about it. But they didn't feel appreciated by the Chinese billionaire. And they felt appreciated by general managers before they closed, GM before they closed. That feeling appreciated matters. Tom Brady never asked to be the highest paid. Those workers in Dayton, Ohio, never asked to be the highest paid. It wasn't about that. But can you appreciate me going to work head down, doing a repetitive job over and over and over? I have value too. Tom never asked to be royalty. He was never asked to be royalty. He never asked. He carried your water. He took pay cuts. He would always bite his tongue when people asked him out after games about certain situations. He would say, well, whatever coach says. But that article is like, we don't even appreciate you. That opened the door. People need to feel appreciated. Tom wasn't, and he decided after winning that Super Bowl against the Rams, he did not play well. He'd won a Super Bowl, but once New England wouldn't even give him the contract he wanted, an extra year, boom, out, house up, made his decision. Now, here was the other thing about the interview. And there's a lot. I got about 10 different bites. But Tom Brady is a very successful guy, and he's married to a supermodel, and they have beautiful kids, blah, blah, blah. But you would think, you know, everybody always makes fun of the National Enquirer and the gossip magazines, but about 2 years ago, I would see it at the grocery store. I'd look over. When I go to the grocery store, I'm over at Ralph's in Los Angeles. I look over, and it's like Tom Brady and Giselle. They are fighting like crazy. They are squabbling. This thing is in trouble. Oh, what do you know? They were right. Tom Brady talks about Giselle at one point a couple years ago not happy with Tommy, and she put her foot down.
She didn't feel like I was doing my part for the family, you know, and she felt like I would play football all season and she would take care of the house. And then all of a sudden when the season would end, I'd be like, great, let me get into all my other business activities. I had to like check myself because she's like, I have goals and dreams too. It's just not to, you know, do these things either. So you better start, you know, taking care of things at the house. She actually wrote me a letter. And it was a very thought out letter that, you know, she wrote it to me and I still have it. And, you know, I keep it in a drawer and I read it, you know, and it's a very heartfelt letter for her to say, this is where I'm at in our marriage.
My first takeaway is when a wife writes a letter, they got one bag packed. If they get it notarized before you get home, it's over. But she had one bag packed. And my second thought is, Lord, if Tom Brady's wife isn't happy, guys, we're screwed. I mean, if Tom Brady's driving home and the wife's like, I got to write a letter. This guy is not delivering enough in our marriage. It's over for me. I might as well go to attorney driving home today. If she's not satisfied with Tom Brady, I'm going right to an attorney after the show today. So Brady, apparently, that's why he skipped the OTAs. Remember a couple years ago he skipped OTAs? Everybody's like, ah, it's Belichick. No, it's Giselle. Giselle was writing letters. And let me tell you something. This has only happened about once or twice in my life. And it's the worst phone call you can ever get from your wife. This is the worst. We need to talk when you get home. I mean, honestly, I stop off at a liquor store and start drinking. I mean, I've had that happen to me twice. We need to talk when you get home. And I'm like, I don't have her burner account. I'm not having an affair. Is the house on fire? No, she'd have more. She'd be screaming. Basically, Giselle did the only thing worse than that phone call, which is she wrote a letter and handed it to him. I've had one of those too. Not this wife. So, but that's why he skipped the OTAs. Instead of throwing his 9,000th slot route in Costa Rica in the offseason to Julian Edelman, he decided to stay home, hang out with the family, connect with the family. But it is nice to know that we've been talking, Joy and I have been talking over the last couple of weeks about not only do we hope we're creating normalcy for you, but you're certainly creating it for us. You're giving us a purpose. But it is nice to know that the supermodel and the greatest football player of all time, they're dealing with the same crap all of us are. They're writing letters. We need to talk when you get home. I'm doing too much. You're not doing enough. It makes me like Brady even more. He's even a little more relatable today.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Howard Stern interviewed Tom Brady today. I didn't hear the beginning of it. They had a bunch of technical problems, I heard, but then it was 2 hours. And, you know, Tom's political, but I thought he had four or five things. You can't be interviewed for 2 hours and not be, you know, authentic. And you know, Tom is, I think he's a really loving, you know, Tom Brady is loved by many and loves many, and that's the perfect life to me. I thought Tom Brady talked about legacy. And to me, we all want to be thought of well, right? But legacy, as a broadcaster told me years and years ago, a very famous broadcaster, said legacy is mostly about ego and vanity. You care how others think of you. And if you really are good at your job, you don't worry much about that. I mean, we're all, you know, nobody likes to be ripped, right? You don't like to be heard all day people ripping you. But if you're really secure in who you are, you don't care a lot about legacy. So Tom Brady, you know, Howard was talking about, why would you leave New England? You could go to Tampa and struggle your legacy. And here was Tom's perfect response.
I never cared about legacy. I mean, I could give a about. That's never, I never once when I was in high school said, man, I can't wait for what my football legacy looks like. I mean, that's a very, it's just not me. That's not my personality. So why would I choose a different place? It's because it was just time. I don't know what to say other than that. Like, I had done everything. I accomplished everything I could in 2 decades with an incredible organization, incredible group of people, and that will never change. And no one can ever take that away from me. No one can ever take those experience or Super Bowl championships away from us.
Tom, big family, feels loved. Tom loves many. He's loved by many. He's secure in himself. Therefore, legacy doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He wants to win games and drive home and be with his wife and his kids and talk to his dad and his sisters. That's why Tom is secure in himself. That's why he's not thin-skinned. Legacy doesn't matter. Take the other quarterback in the all-decade team, Aaron Rodgers, who said 2 days ago, quote, my thing is legacy is really important. Aaron Rodgers has a well-documented struggle with his family. Isn't married. Doesn't have kids. Legacy matters. It really does. Who's thin-skinned? Aaron. Who's not? Tom. Who has a wide net of people there supporting him? Tom. Who fires back at people you'd think would be close to him. Brother or family. Aaron. It says a lot that Tom Brady and anybody listening, if you're really doing it right, and it's not just about you, and you've got partnerships and kids, or you don't have to have kids, or friends, a wide social net or a wide family net, and you feel loved and you love, you don't give a rip about what people say about you. Michael Jordan's had the same 8 buddies as friends forever. Jordan's got this incredibly tight social circle. LeBron, by the way, has the same 4 buddies he's had since high school. You think those guys are sitting around worrying what people think about them? You worry about that stuff when it's about you. And for Brady, it's always been about sacrificing and others as much as him.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
We bring now Nick Wright, co-host First Things First. Also here on Sirius XM Radio every day. Okay, Nick, Howard Stern and Tom Brady, they did the interview. It was 2 hours long. There were some, little juicy tidbits in there. Let's start with this. Tom Brady at one point talked about, quote, "I never really had a backup plan." What did that mean to you?
I loved it so much, Colin. It was my favorite part of the whole interview, and thanks for having me on. Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Did you ever have a backup plan?
Nope. This was it. 8 years old on.
Yep. Listen, I'm not trying to compare myself to Tom Brady, but me too. I applied to one school, Syracuse, because when I was 12 years old, I was told this is where you should go. If this is what you want to do. My parents berated me about it. I said, I think I'm going to get in. If I don't get in, I'll go be a fireman like my dad was. This was the only thing. And I know this is a polarizing take, and some people say this is not the approach you should take. I think if you are trying to be the best in the world at something, it's the only approach you can take.
Yeah.
And so I love it. I loved that from Tom, and I loved the honesty from Tom.
When I listened to the interview, the other thing was Tom, and I love this quote, is that Tom Brady's like, I never, as a high school quarterback, thought about legacy. That's just not how I'm built. And I think with Tom, who's got this wide, loving family, this big social net, he's very close with teammates, he doesn't worry about that. And I think it's hard when you're a young broadcaster, young quarterback. Your legacy's perhaps not formed, so you're more insecure about it. But when I heard that from Tom, he's like, listen, I went to Tampa because I don't care about my legacy. I love that quote. Did you?
Well, I think you probably don't think about legacy at the very beginning. And I think when you're close to the very end, you're probably, if you're Brady, you're so secure in your legacy, it doesn't matter. I think, what was Tom Brady thinking of his legacy in 2013 when Peyton Manning was throwing 55 touchdowns when Brady hadn't won a Super Bowl in a decade and Manning was going on this run with the Broncos? I'm guessing at that point, Brady cared a lot about legacy. That's
right.
Not a knock on him at all, right? I think now that he's got six, he's lapped the field, everyone acknowledges he's the greatest ever, then I think he doesn't – I think it's circled back around to high school to where he doesn't care about legacy. But I think there was a point in time, and if you remember those emails that unfortunately for Tom we got to see between he and his father during the Deflategate scandal where they talk about Peyton and Brady says he's got 1 or 2 years left, I've got 6 or 7 years left, game on. I mean, that's a legacy discussion in real time. And by the way, Brady was proven correct on that. So I believe him that he doesn't currently care about it, but I think at some point he absolutely did, and I don't begrudge him that at all.
The All-Decade team came out this week. Brady and Aaron Rodgers were the quarterbacks, and I agree with that. But I do think perception, thank God, is not reality. The reality is, in the last 8 years, Russell Wilson has not missed a start. He has worked with worse offensive lines, and I think he's a better teammate and better quarterback that's made every tight end and receiver and lineman work. He's better in 8 years, the last eight, than Aaron Rodgers, and much healthier and can beat you more ways. But I do think Aaron Rodgers, over 10 years, he's got a Super Bowl win and he's got his best statistical year, is the all-decade quarterback. But the difference is, Brady's been in GOAT Rodgers has been in GOAT conversations. Russell Wilson's never received a single MVP vote. The perception is Rodgers is a top five ever, and Russell's just kind of a small, quirky, fantastic athlete who's always had a great coach. I think they're much closer than advertised. What say you?
Listen, one of the things you and I are in lockstep on is that Russell Wilson is the most underappreciated, great, truly great player of this generation. Now, part of that is because you had certain people, I can't quite remember who, you know, always promoting Andrew Luck over Russell Wilson, but we don't need to get into old stuff. Rodgers has, the last 3 years, Rodgers has not been a great, great quarterback week in, week out, while Russell Wilson arguably the last 3 years has been the best he's ever been. And so Russell Wilson is in his prime, if not peaking. Rodgers is trying to hold on to the backside of it. But yes, because if it's a 10-year award goes to Aaron Rodgers, a 7 or 8 year award goes to Russell Wilson, and a 3 year award obviously goes to Patrick Mahomes, but nobody's doing that.
I knew you had to sneak that curveball in.
Yeah.
Nick Wright is joining us. I believe the NBA, and I said this yesterday, this is kind of long and I won't bore you, but in Hollywood, Matt Damon can do 2 or 3 movies and then disappear for 5 years. So can Denzel, so can, you know, Morgan Freeman, so can Tom Hanks. But then 4 or 5 years later, they come back, do 2 or 3 movies, and once again, because they're stars and we love stars, they're the most popular actor in Hollywood. Baseball doesn't have stars. The NBA is driven by them. I believe baseball cannot withstand 18 months of no games. I do think the NBA could withstand no season because it's star-driven. If Matt Damon's got a new movie, damn it, I'm watching it. And if Kevin Durant, Steph are back, I'm watching it. So they have a big advantage over baseball. I think they're going to get in. Yesterday, Adam Silver basically saying Labor Day is the cutoff point, which I love about Adam Silver. That really was encouraging to me because that told me they don't really even have to start practicing till mid-June and start playing till July. So I think an NBA season is going to happen. I do today. Do you?
I do. And now I will admit, part of it is because I don't want to wrap my mind around the idea of it not happening. And so I had the exact same reaction as you. Is Silver giving, it sounds bad, it sounds weird, that Silver saying a date that if they're not in by, they won't play being a good thing. The fact that he said Labor Day, I thought the exact same thing. Okay, so that means you could have 10 days of the regular season if you wanted at the end of June just as a warm-up, and then the full 2 months of the playoffs in July and August.
Yep.
And still get this thing in. The only issue I will take with what you were saying about the NBA being okay if they don't get it in, of course they'll be okay. But I'm going to, later, or next week in the next couple weeks on First Things First, shameless plug, I'm going to go through LeBron's 10 greatest playoff games ever. And in researching that, I realized, I mean, the dude's got 40 playoff games that arguably could make the list. Why do I bring that up? We didn't get to see LeBron in the playoffs last year. If they don't have a playoffs this year, we won't get to see it. And then you're into year 18, and while I've never been in the business of doubting LeBron, then you are one tweaked groin away from what? LeBron not being in the playoffs again, and then wait, was the last great LeBron playoff moment the 51-point game one, and then we never see him in the postseason again? Like, if you miss this postseason, that door starts to open. And I think the NBA is so tied still to LeBron, it's very important this year gets in some way, shape, or form.
Nick Wright, co-host, First Things First. How's your family in Los Angeles? You know, we drive to work. We don't have a dynamic subway system. And we haven't had quite the intensity of the hospitalization scares that New York City has. In New York City today, Nick, how do you feel the safety, you and your family?
I'll give the good and the bad of it. The bad is it is scary as far as we try to get outside to go on a family walk, and the streets are vacant, and the only sounds are, honestly, every minute and a half to 2 minutes you hear either a faint or a loud ambulance siren. That's scary. There's lines for the grocery store, and everyone's wearing masks. It feels weird. The good of it is this. I live nowhere near a hospital. Nowhere near a medical facility. Every day at 7 o'clock, my entire neighborhood in Harlem goes out on the porch and starts clapping. They're not even clapping for any medical providers. It's just like a citywide show of support, whether you're near a hospital or not. And it has, at least for me, selfishly, given me a month home with my daughters that I otherwise never would get. So I'm trying. You have been very, and I want to give you a compliment in this regard. Twitter is always kind of more doom and gloom than it should be, unless live sports are on. But particularly during this pandemic, your Twitter feed has been a constant source of whatever positive information there is out there, which I appreciate. And so I do think we're going to get to the other side of this eventually. But I can't lie to you. It is a surreal experience being here in New York City these last 30 days.
Give your family love, your wife, Nick. Thank you so much.
You as well. To you, enjoy. I'll talk to you soon.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Howard's really aged well. He's 66 years old, never been smarter. Oprah's 66. My daughter watched my daughter and her grandma watched the Oprah Sunday Soul, they call it, Sunday morning. Oprah's never been smarter. Howard's never been smarter. And I find it really funny in America. Donald Trump, 73. Joe Biden, 77. Bernie Sanders dropped out today. That's who's going to run for president. Beto O'Rourke, you didn't buy him. Mayor Pete, you rejected him. America likes experience. You had all these interesting. Kamala Harris, I thought, was feisty and smart and unique and a prosecutor. You rejected her. And Mayor Pete and Beto O'Rourke. You didn't reject Joe Biden. He doesn't want a revolution. He just wants to get us off the roller coaster we feel like we're on. America, Howard Stern is 66. He got the Tom Brady interview. Oprah, 66. This idea that new revolution. Folks, old is great. The happiest people, according to studies, are 58 years old. They're getting near retirement. So Tom Brady was talking about this. You know, Tom, and I said, I wish he'd just, you know, stop in New England, wrap a bow, and be nice and tidy, but it's not my life. I'm worried about Tom's legacy. Tom's not worried about his legacy. But he talked to Howard Stern about continuing to play, leaving this perfect legacy and moving on.
You know, we all think we're going to live forever.
Right.
But the reality is we don't know when our day's going to come. So I could sit here and go, well, stop playing football so I could, you know, worry about what's going to happen or worry about this or that, instead of saying, you know, why don't I live my life the way that I want and enjoy it, you know, in the ways that are going to be most fulfilling to me, which for me is doing what I love to do. You don't tell a musician, stop singing,
right,
you know, at age of 42. You don't tell a great painter, stop painting at 42. Now, if you want to stop, go ahead. But for me, because I feel like I can still play, doesn't mean I should just stop playing because that's what everyone's telling me to do.
By the way, Howard Stern started painting about 10 years ago and playing chess, and he's pretty good on the guitar now. He's evolved. He doesn't do as much stripper talk. It's a much smarter show. Oprah used to do a talk show host. Now she runs a network. It's a smarter show. Is it Tom Brady? The happiest people I know in this country have a purpose. And as you age and the kids move out of the house, so you're not raising them, and, you know, you get to be 62 and 65, I never wanted to be a guy that raced to a golf course 6 days away, six days a week, and golfed, and my brain turns to mush. I never wanted to do that. It's nothing against golf. I love watching golf majors. I love the Masters. I love the British Open. I love the U.S. Open. I love watching golf majors. And I've gone to golf tournaments, and I like hitting golf balls. But I don't want my brain to turn to mush golfing with the same guys 6 days a week. Tom Brady has a purpose, and he's got a direction. And the happiest, healthiest people I know have, especially as you age. You know, you when you're young, you don't have kids to worry about. When you're old, they're no longer in the house. What's your purpose getting up? The mom, the husband, what's the purpose? The purpose is doing something you love. And this idea that Tom Brady can no longer play is absurd. A year ago, not this past year, 1 year earlier, 66% completion rate, 4,500 yards, 98 passer rating, 29 touchdowns and 11 picks. Gronk was old and on his last year, and Edelman was the worst number one receiver in the league. Last year, his bad year with a bad offensive line, no number one receiver, and no tight end to speak of, Brady's numbers were, oh wait, he threw again for over 4,000 yards. With no weapons. They got Mohamed Sanu mid-season, and New England's offense doesn't do well with rookie receivers and no tight ends and guys that come in midseason. This idea he can't play is ludicrous. Phil Simms came on our show and said that a month ago. It's up. Stop saying that.
I hear people on TV, his arm is not as good. What are you watching?
Thank
his
you.
Arm might be better now than it's ever been in his career.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. He might run a 5'3", 40 or whatever it was, but he dances in the pocket like he's 4'5". You watch him. I've seen highlights of him from last year, and I look at him, I just go, man, he can just move around that pocket like he's a ballet dancer. And that is something that I don't know why more quarterbacks don't emulate now.
Yeah, he can play. He's played for the last couple of years. I don't think people are taking this into consideration. And this is not a shot at my former employer. It's not. But the way the structure was built at my former employer, basically John, a guy named Vince, and I did the show, two people. I didn't have a Joy. I didn't have a Dave Coello, my guest booker. I didn't have 7 to 8 to 9 other people in the room. That's why my numbers have gone up. That's why I tripled my TV audience. And my digital's gone up 6 times. And my Facebook is now 330 million views a year. And my YouTube has grown. And my digital is growing. Why? Because I have a much better staff to work with. That's not a shot at the other people because I took one of them. The point being is Tom is going to go from arguably the weakest weapons in the league. Julian Edelman's a 3 to a 2 on many teams. On the Rams, I'm not even sure where he's at. There are organizations that have wide receivers. I mean, where would he be on most teams? I mean, where would he be in Dallas? He wouldn't be Amari Cooper. I think they like Michael Gallup. Zeke's going to get run. He'd probably be a 4. They let go of Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley's not that much different than Julian Edelman. He's not. The difference is Edelman's had Brady. Cole Beasley's got Josh Allen and a young Dak. So the point being is now Tom's going to go to a better staff and better teammates and better coworkers playing in their prime. Chris Godwin going into his prime. Mike Evans going into his prime. His tight ends, young, going into their prime or in their prime. All Tampa has to do, really to me, is get a running back. Draft a running back. There's a bunch of really good kind of second, third, fourth, fifth running backs, fifth round guys. Get a running back. There's a couple things to address on the defensive side, and he's just got a better team. Younger, more athletic, more help means a better content. Content for him is wins. I think Tampa and Tom are going to be a beautiful marriage. NFC is tougher than the AFC. It's deeper, but a very productive marriage.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I told you I watched a documentary last night called American Factory, and it was comparing American workers and Chinese workers and our sort of DNA. One's obviously a communist country. And the efficiency is laudable in China. But they get one day off a week, 18 hours a day, never see their kids, don't even talk about vacations. And, you know, in America, individuality in independence is in our DNA. It's our fabric. It's who we are. And, you know, you go to a factory and guys are wearing hats on backwards and got their tats and they're cracking jokes. And they feel like, you know, they're an individual working for a big company. Doesn't work that way. In China, you're part of a big company and it's an intense life. I love the efficiency part, but I didn't like it was any individuality was suppressed. And as I watched, there were so many messages. But with Brady is nobody's saying the Patriots are communist, but they have this kind of suppressive system where Belichick talks, players don't, coaches don't. Your individuality is suppressed. And I think Tom's over it. You would never hear this interview with Tom Brady in New England. You just wouldn't hear it. Stern this morning asked Brady an off-the-wall question about what he and Giselle were actually wearing this morning.
I'm wearing normal workout shorts because I'm about to go work out after this. But my wife is wearing really cute tight pants, which I always like her in.
Yeah, that's not Foxborough, Tom. By the way, I think that is tight pants. And I've told you, when I come home from work, I wear my dress shirt. Joy just goes into the minivan and wears warm-ups. I am all about business, so I keep a collared shirt on until things get, about 9 o'clock. So the point being is Tom likes his wife in tight jeans. Also, Brady opened up about a hit he took one time And now one of his testicles got really big.
The other quarterback on my team, Matt Castle, so I pulled my shorts off at the end of the game because I thought when I got hit, something happened. And it ended up being a hernia in the game where the abdomen wall split open. And then I don't know all the details of it, but other than that, the testicles were like literally like one side was like, I would say like an orange.
Oh.
And then the other side was normal. And I was like, something's wrong here. And the guy who's my backup quarterback time, Matt Castle, drew pictures of me like with this one huge testicle on one side. And then he would leave him in my locker every day about, you know, this.
I like this Tom. I had the other Tom, suppressed Tom, no individuality Tom. I like this Tom. I'm good with it.